this? Who's in the post game?
Pow, 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 power panel.
I love it. That's right. It's a power post game. JR and I are going to do it for you guys tonight.
I think what happened was I was in here last time and I kind of led the post game with Brett. Brett had done like 4 shows that day, so he was extremely tired. And I'm just saying, rave reviews came in. It's all I'm going to say.
Yeah, I mean, you haven't said a word. You're just saying, okay?
You're saying.
But backed by popular demand. Well, actually, the post game for just members is backed by popular demand.
That too.
You guys always had it, but we were putting it up on YouTube TV as well. And we heard you loud and clear that that should remain for members. So we took it out of the schedule and we brought it back here for just you guys.
Wow.
So thank you for supporting us. We appreciate it. Speaking of support, I'm going to read one quick tweet and then I promise you 3 stories. So that's a lot and I'll get to them. Free Press Green wrote at the end of the show, love, love, love We the People. Nina is nothing short of phenomenal. So I'm not selling you anything here. You're already a member. But go and check out Nina Turner's podcast in our podcasting network. If you don't know how to do that, tyt.com/audio. All those podcasts will soon be on our app as well. Okay.
There's always a way to be selling, Jane Cougar. If you're already a member, we know that you are because you're here watching this now. Buy a membership for a friend. Let them see Nina's podcast. Maybe they don't know what they're missing and you have to usher them in. Just the first month to be like, after that, they take it over.
Yeah. I mean, Jared's not saying anything. He's just here saying this. Backed by popular demand. Okay. So, Jared, as you saw on the show, I promised 3 different stories. So,
yes. One
is Mexico-Brazil game. So, I had a meeting this morning. And it was at 7:30 in the morning. That's when my meetings begin. So it was over breakfast, and I told the fella that I was meeting with, "Do you mind meeting at the so and so restaurant so that we could watch Mexico Brazil in the background?"
Mm-hmm.
And he's like, "Oh, thanks God, thank you. Yes, yes, I really want to do that." Okay, so I went at 7 to catch the beginning of the game. So I'm tweeting, I'm reading Intercept articles and watching Mexico Brazil.
But you, again, you're the catalyst. You wanted to see the game.
Oh, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. Okay. No, it was important. I really, really had to do that meeting. But like, nobody's going to get hurt if Mexico Brazil is in the background. Okay.
Yes.
So now the place we went to was an Argentinian place. And so they had it up in Spanish and pretty loud. So that's okay. It's actually helpful because if you've ever watched soccer games in Spanish, way better than English. Why? I don't really care what they're saying in English, right? I don't care if they think that it was not a very creative shot on goal, whatever, right? It's better in Spanish, even though I don't speak Spanish, because the Spanish announcers you are solid. When the game is going normal, they're like, and when it gets anything close to action, they're like, right? And you're like, okay, the Intercept says this about demographics. What happened?
Time to watch. Right? They do it before it gets there. It's not like the goal call. About to happen. You're like, okay, this is the 15 seconds worth watching.
Yeah, there's never been anything more helpful than the volume of their voice as they get closer to the goal, right?
Yeah.
And so you know when to look up. It's perfect. And the game was great. I'll just quick note on that. I don't want to spend time talking about sports, but it was Brazil won 2-0, but that game could have easily been 3-2. I think Brazil should have won, but 2-0 could be a slaughter. You could have games that are 2-0, but it should have been 8-0, uh-huh. Right? But this game should have been 3-2 Brazil. Mexico played great, okay? So now that's not the relevant part of the story. Relevant part of the story is this place was packed, which is part of what I love about the World Cup. This place is a rinky-dink bakery, okay? I say Argentinian.
It's like it's not even like a restaurant bar.
It is, but like it's like a bakery. Like it's not a big deal, okay? And it's not usually crowded. And I get there at 6:55 in the morning, and I'm like, what is going on? There's no parking spots on the street at 6:55. And I was like, oh, right, everybody's here for the game, okay? And that place is packed, and it's about, I'm making up numbers here. I'm eyeballing it, and I didn't go around checking out who's multicultural, but like a right winger would. But it looked like it was about 70% white in there, 20% Latino, and 10% Asian. Okay? So, welcome to America, right?
Right.
And so not every crowd's that way. Obviously, there's more African Americans than other places, blah, blah, blah. But it's fair, you know, it's LA, it's America, yada, yada. So I was curious as to what the reaction is. Who are they rooting for, right? And the overwhelming majority of the crowd was rooting for Mexico. And now I'm going to make up stuff, but it's what I feel, and I'm ascribing it to them, so I'm being honest with you guys. But it is what I felt that they felt. Okay, right or wrong, that was the vibe I got from it. And even my son said the same thing. Well, of course we root for Mexico. They're the closest thing to the US, right? So that's Steve Bannon's nightmare.
Right? There's this association with a country that's that close to us, especially in the southern part of the country where we live. So we're closer, is that many more people that I assume are more directly affected and actually familial associated with that country too. So we know folks that are directly associated with the country. So we like those because most folks are okay.
Yeah. So, and that's what's great about LA too. I mean, so it's Mexico, Brazil. So it's one Latino country versus another. Obviously Brazil is Portuguese speaking and is a better known team in soccer. If you don't know that, if you don't follow world soccer, they're more exciting and probably the top team historically in soccer history. So, and it's not like they don't have their fans. They have fans everywhere. So when they scored, there was like 20% of the room was like, yeah, right? Mm-hmm. But 80% of the room was like, the other thing that happened, JR, and I don't know if you sensed this, but there was palpable excitement in LA about the Mexican team, right?
There was.
And people were proud, like that's our brothers and sisters. And there's this great ad with Donovan.
Landon Donovan.
Yeah, uh-huh. Where he goes and buys a Mexican jersey, uh-huh. Right? Uh-huh. That's cool.
I haven't seen any of these.
Yeah. So, like, I feel like the right wing be like, oh.
He's a traitor.
Yeah, that's right.
He's a traitor.
But I love that. I love that we stick together and then we root for our neighbors. Did you get the same vibe in LA at all or no?
Yes. No, just in general. You see whenever the Lakers are winning, whenever the Dodgers are winning, you see the flags on people's cars.
Yeah.
The championship flags and stuff. Or I don't see it with football much.
I mean, we barely got started.
Come on. But no, that's the thing. So that's the one thing I did see was flags on people's cars driving around, especially after the first match when no one thought they'd win. And Germany, they took out Germany in the first beginning of group stages. So everyone was excited from the beginning, like this could be a thing. And so now it carried on through and people have that excitement. And so when you see people doing it, like how do you hate on someone who's excited for the team they're rooting for in the World Cup and you honestly don't have a direct dog in the fight, like say, you know, everyone here would be rooting for America, kind of, if they even qualified. Mm-hmm. But when you see someone else, how do you go, God, it's Mexican flags. Can't believe he's rooting for a team that's in the World Cup. It's hard to do it.
I'm so glad I'm not right wing. Okay, like all the baggage you got to carry around in your heart,
yeah.
Right? And the needless hatred of Mexicans for what reason? For what reason? Right? If you're a liberal, you're like, why would I hate Mexicans? Like I literally don't know why. Right?
There's no time and room in your day or energy to give to that. Like you have too many other things to do. It begs that same question. Don't you have something better to do?
Yeah, exactly right.
If not, you got to figure it out.
Right. So now, look, I like Brazil too as a team. I mean, they're super exciting, and so they'll move on. And I think they're like the only classically good team left, meaning like the top teams normally in soccer. Brazil, Argentina, Germany, Italy, Holland, etc.
Times France here and there.
Yeah, yeah, it's France here and there. Yeah, yeah. People put England in there sometimes. When do they ever earn it? Right? They like to think they're good. I don't know when they earned it.
You guys making enemies.
Okay. I know some of you are English, but I mean, let's keep it real. But they do have a great team this year. So, but I put them as like an hey, look at one of those fun little underdogs. That are in the final 16. They make the final 16 a lot, but they don't win much.
Sadly, I have no idea what's happening in the World Cup.
Yeah.
I've seen none of it.
So Germany's gone. Italy and Holland didn't even make it, which is amazing. Spain's gone. Argentina's gone. Portugal's gone. Damn. These are all the giants.
Yeah.
Right. Okay, now let's go to, speaking of right-wingers, back to when I was right-wing, okay? Kind of.
So, how'd you carry that hate in your heart?
So back then, there was a thing called a liberal Republican, right? And that meant like You thought there was too much government regulation. You thought taxes should be lower. You thought you should balance the budget, start a war or two, but you didn't hate other people, right? So that doesn't exist anymore. So, yeah. And that's part of the reason why I left.
Those are called rhinos now.
Yeah, no. The rhinos now would have been considered insane radical right back when I was growing up. Yeah. Now they're considered, the Republican name all is nothing, right?
You don't even hate people.
Yeah, you just are for the rich. That's it, rhino. So I've told a lot of stories about why my family was Republican growing up. Mainly it was that my dad was a small business owner. The really quick version is he wanted the elevators in his building inspected twice a year so that it didn't fall and people didn't die. He didn't want them inspected six times a year. Okay, that's why we were Republican. Okay, so now, because it costs the money every time. Let's keep it real. Okay, so I go down, I become a talk show host, and I'm trying to be a conservative talk show host, which, that was a process where at some point I wrote things that were not helpful, and you guys might remember that. So I go down, there's a job opening in Huntsville, Alabama. And so I sent my tape, and they liked it.
You were dedicated.
Yeah. So I'm going to tell you an unacceptable part of the story. Okay. So they asked me to fly down, and they pay me to fly from DC where I am to Huntsville, Alabama,
just to
audition. Uh-huh. And they're like, no. This is a coveted spot. This is a spot that Sean Hannity began at. Okay. That he started his talk radio career in Huntsville, Alabama, at that same exact time slot. So if you're trying to be a conservative talk show host, that's like, whoa, that is alluring, right? Like, this makes me sick thinking about it now. But
follow the same trajectory as Sean Hannity.
That's right. That was a thing to aspire to back then. I wish we weren't talking about this. Okay, anyway, so they fly me down. And on the way down, the unacceptable part is, I was in the back of the plane, and there was a plane filled with white folks. I don't know their politics. I'm sure they're good folks. But it was summertime, and they all had tans, and all their necks were literally red. So, of course, not all. And, of course, it doesn't actually mean anything. We're not like the right wing. It doesn't mean like, I hated them.
Saw the red necks, and it was over.
Right. So it was like a plane filled with flashing red necks, which should have been a sign for me. But anyway, I get down there, and three things happen. So the program director picked me up, and we drove around Huntsville a little bit.
What year is this again, just to get this our setting?
Oh, yeah, good question. 96, I think. 96 is my best guess. Wow. Okay. The year I voted for Bob Dole. Okay. Bob so, Dole. I shouldn't. Okay.
Don't do it.
Don't do it. Okay.
Pull back.
Anyway, so we're driving around Huntsville, and he's like, here's where NASA is, here's where the Nazis are. Anyway, but seriously, he was telling me about how NASA had taken some of the old German scientists from the Nazis and brought them over to Huntsville. I was like, oh, that's interesting and incredibly scary.
Yeah, okay.
Okay, so we took a lot of Nazis in, actually, and a lot of them worked in the intelligence community. I wonder how that turned out. So I get on air, we do the segment, I do an hour long show, and three things come up. Then I go upstairs and I talk to the owner. So I've been talking to the program director all throughout, I do the segment, go meet the owner of the station, and he's a local dude, and he happens to own the station. He's not part of any conglomerate at that point. So he probably is now. He probably sold a while back. But back then. So number one, he's like, well, I can't believe, one thing you obviously did wrong was you cursed on air. I was like, what did I say? And it probably was ass. Like, I probably said he kicked some ass or something, right? And apparently in Huntsville, that doesn't play in 96, okay? I'm like, that was a curse. Okay, because it's not one of the seven words,
yeah.
Right? I was like, oh boy. He's like, now son, you gotta remember, this is the Bible Belt. Okay, we can't be having you curse on air like that. I was like, oh, okay. And then they asked, so what kind of gun do you own? I was like, I don't know what I got.
Nerf.
And the look on their face when I said I don't own a gun, they're like, now what kind of a self-respecting conservative gonna come down?
Rhino.
Rhino back then. Well, they were right. They were right.
Wow. Like there was, well, obviously it was a serious question, but I still can't believe it. What kind of gun? What if you'd, okay, then that means also, what if you said something that was too much of a chump gun? It's a, I don't even know what a little weak gun would be. A small pistol, if you name some kind of small pistol, go, ooh, so that's your gun, boy?
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, there's so many interesting questions about that, right? Because, like, my problem is I'm honest, right? Because correct answer is bazooka. Right, RPG. Okay, just name it like a giant gun. I'm like, oh, yeah, all right, that's good. Except, yeah. You know what, to be unfair to me, I wouldn't have even known what gun to say.
Yeah, you'd say something right? And have the wrong terminology. You know, whenever we talk about gun control, they go, you guys don't even know the right terminology for a gun, so you can't even talk about whether or not people can get murdered on a mass scale by them every time because you said rifle or you didn't say rifle. Actually, I'm making a point to not know what the hell right terminology is for each kind of murder weapon these guys use.
That's right. Well, you said semi-automatic, but it's actually an assault weapon, but automatic and not semi-automatic. Blah, 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 blah. Like,
it's an assault rifle, not an assault weapon. You can't call it a weapon because now you don't know what the hell you're talking about.
Yeah, I know.
Yeah, cool. Sure.
So it didn't even occur to me to lie, but I'm now thinking, well, what if I were going to lie?
Disaster.
Ruger, 57. And then I'd be like, shit, I'm pretty sure a Ruger 57 is not real. I have no idea. I made it up. It's a terrible idea to make it up. So thank God I didn't lie. It doesn't matter. I didn't get the job.
Like a Smith & Winston. 357.
I got a Cuck 45. Oh, my God. When Trump gets cucked, we got to do that sidebar.
Oh,
remember that one. Okay.
45.
Cuck 45.
On the whiteboard.
On the whiteboard. All right. So, and then he looked at my resume and he's like, because I went to Penn undergrad and I went to Columbia Law. He's like, oh, Columbia. Well, that's good. I really love South Carolina.
This is all serious?
It's 100%. 100%. Okay. No joke. Okay. And I was like, oh, boy. I was like, no. That's the one in New York.
The New York one, in the middle of the concrete jungle of the city.
Yeah, no callback.
What's Columbia? Wait, I'm trying to think. Columbia,
Columbia, South Carolina.
But like, what's the name of this school's called Columbia?
I don't know.
But I know there's South Carolina, Columbia.
I know there's a Columbia, South Carolina. I don't know what school's there. Anyway, all right, so that's the Huntsville story. Did not get that job, didn't come close. They sniffed me out. It's an unfortunate term, as Anna points out, but they did. And then now the wobbly chair story real quick.
No.
So FDR, and I will get parts of the story wrong, and it's not my story. You can just Google it, and you'll get the right story. But it's a fun story, and I'll tell it my way. FDR wins the election, first election. He's got all these bold plans for these progressive ideas. A lot of people don't like it. The big businessmen of the time hate him. They hate him, right? And he's in Chicago doing an appearance with the mayor of Chicago. I think it was an Italian immigrant, which people always point out, although I don't know why it's relevant. Maybe it had to do with why he tried to shoot Roosevelt. Mm-hmm. So I don't know if like the big business guys put him up to it. Probably not. He might have just been a lone guy doing his thing.
He's a lone wolf.
Yeah, lone wolf, lone Italian wolf or something. He stands up on a chair to kill FDR, and if he had, I believe FDR's vice president at the time was conservative, because remember, Democratic Party back then has a lot of conservatives in it. No New Deal, no Social Security ever happens, etc. Gets up on the chair, and as luck and fate would have it, the chair is wobbly. So it wobbles, and he shoots, and the bullet goes astray, and hits the Chicago mayor.
Oh.
And I think killed him.
Oh.
Look it up. I'm not positive, right? But it hit the guy next to him. So FDR miraculously survives because of the wobbly chair. And we all have Social Security.
Chicago mayor takes one for Social Security and the New Deal.
No The Chicago mayor literally took one for the team. I feel terrible about that, or whoever that politician was. But sometimes you just get lucky or unlucky, right? And that wobbly chair affected positively the lives of hundreds of millions of people, minus the Chicago.
That begs the, begs the question, how much of it, things are like destined to happen versus how much we can really do with it. I mean, was it destined that we have this insane person run in White House right now? Is it there, which I know a lot of people think this, which I disagree with, he's there because then it's going to bring about better change? No, first of all, no, it's not. Because people will suffer and die because of the things he's doing. Let's just not forget about that part. But so you wonder like, oh man, fate would have it that this would happen. Or, I don't know, who controlled this chair happened to be in the place where he wants to stand on this one? Maybe the chair next to him wouldn't have been wobbly, and whoever set up the scene put the different chairs in different places. It's all circumstantial. It's up to just random acts of nature to happen that way. What's next to happen?
Yeah, so my sense of it is definitely both, okay? So FDR was a product of his times because back then socialism was actually really, really strong. And even communism was in the conversation in the US, yeah, right? And FDR was being pushed massively by the left. And the left back then was super strong. So it is not surprising that someone like FDR emerged at that time. On the other hand, if the chair doesn't wobble, or later the big corporate interests literally planned a coup against FDR, and Smedley Butler would not do it. Again, I hope I got that right. That's a general that they try to recruit, and he turned them in. I think he's the same guy who said that war is a racket. Uh-huh. If Smedley isn't a good guy and he's a bad guy, which easily could have been the case, maybe there's a coup in America, an America that we know is not like this at all. At all, okay? So yeah, sometimes it's luck. I mean, look, Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez, she's such a great candidate, and there were so many wonderful people and organizations that helped. I don't want anybody to take this the wrong way. But if the Just Democrats don't get formed, I don't know that she ever gets recruited.
Right. See?
And I don't know that she gets the support she needs over that year and a half to be able to win, mm-hmm, right? And now we're not having this conversation on a national level. So on the other hand, the time is right. We're right about the blue wave. We're right about the progressive wave. We're right that we're going to beat the establishment. But somebody's actually got to do it.
Let's go further back. If Cenk Uygur got hired in Huntsville, Alabama, he would continue to be conservative. Never would have started the Young Turks. Never would have built the degree to which he's now taking this. And then leads to things like Justice Democrats because they're so mad about everything that's happening. And then which leads to Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez running and then changing the world.
So thank God I didn't own a gun. No, but in all seriousness, I would have become progressive no matter what, which is actually exactly what you're talking about, JR. I mean, that's half the time. Like, I would have changed, no question, mm-hmm, about it, right? Because the Republican Party became monstrous. There's no way I would have stayed. But if I'd gotten the job in Huntsville, I'd probably never go down to Miami and meet Ben. And then I don't know if we start the Young Turks, right? Maybe I do something else entirely. And so...
Yep, you get tired of doing this whole talk thing as on the conservative side. You're like, I'm going to go back to being an attorney.
Yeah, so thank God I said ass on the air. And that's why we brought cursing back to the postgame.
Salute.
All right, guys. Much love. We'll see you tomorrow.